Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our spring membership drive right now. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. First, our guest. You are what you eat has been made ever more clear in recent years as we learn more and more about how food affects everything we do. We already know what's bad for us, and you know we do, so come on. But how do we banish it from our diets in a realistic way? And how do we keep it banished? Joining us this hour to talk about the science behind the diet and his strategies for losing weight and getting healthy is Dr. Neil Barnard. Dr. Barnard is the founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He's also an adjunct associate professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences, and he's written several best-selling books on eating well for life and health. We're going to talk about his two most recent books today, the Get Healthy, Go Vegan Cookbook, which he co-wrote with Robin Webb, and the 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart, Boost Metabolism, Lower Cholesterol, and Dramatically Improve Your Health. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your pledge right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $3,000, and we can meet this goal with your help. Online pledges count toward the goal, too, at WOSU.org. For a pledge at the $100 level, we'll send you Dr. Barnard's book, 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart. The subtitle of the book is Boost Metabolism, Lower Cholesterol, and Dramatically Improve Your Health. And for that pledge of $100, we will send you this book as a thank you gift for supporting public radio. Call 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. Welcome to the show, Dr. Neil Barnard.
Yes, good morning. It's great to be with you. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, let's start with the 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart book. You begin the whole book with a cautionary note to the readers.
Well, yeah. People get so excited when they find out what we found in our research, that you're going to lose weight, your diabetes gets better. Sometimes you don't even see the diabetes anymore on blood tests. People get so excited. You know what they do? They fire their doctor. They throw their medicines in the trash. I say, wait, don't do that. Stick with your physician, stick with your medications. If and when the time is right for you to no longer need your medicines, fair enough. You can stop them at that point. But you do this in consultation with your doctor. So, yeah, I want to make sure that we're doing this sensibly. We're doing this carefully. I do want everybody to get healthy. Don't get me wrong. But we're going to take our time. We're going to do it right.
To what extent do you get any pushback from physicians about this when they hear about their patients going on the diet? Do you ever hear back from them, or are they curious? Do they ever call you and want to talk?
All the time, constantly. And, you know, in medical school, you don't really get a lot of nutrition training.
Right.
And what is very often the case is that a patient goes to the physician, they might bring in one of my books, and they'll say, this is what I'm trying to do. And the doctors very often learn along with the patient when they see what happens. They see their weight coming down. When I was in medical school, these were not things we talked about a great deal. So the doctors very often call me and say, how can I do this in an organized way in my own clinic? And we do have quite a lot of clinicians around the country who are using this sort of approach, partly because it's very engaging. It allows the patient to be doing things for themselves as opposed to just being a recipient of medication.
Mm-hmm.
But it also works better. It works more effectively and more permanently than most other approaches.
You mentioned in medical school you don't get much training. Has that changed much? You didn't really get interested in all this until you were in your residency, was it?
I had finished residency, and then when I was in practice, I started working with the foundation. First of all, we were looking at diabetes. And they were feeling, this particular foundation I was working with was feeling pretty discouraged that diabetes was getting worse and worse. The medications, while really important for managing and controlling, it weren't turning it around. And so we decided to do some clinical trials where we would change diets, but we wanted to go quite a lot further than the diets that people were using. And we got into this really not knowing quite what to expect, but the initial results were very, very encouraging. And then it was 2003 that NIH started taking notice of what we were doing and gave us a nice grant that allowed us to really put healthy diets to a good test. And we've published a half a dozen papers based on that research alone. And it's just been very exciting to see what people are able to do.
It's a vegan diet. And I was wondering, at what point did you change your diet? Because you grew up in cattle country.
I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota. I suppose people have seen the movie, and that might be their image of it. And it's not exactly like that. But yeah, I grew up, as probably most Americans do, with roast beef, baked potatoes, and corn, except for special occasions when it was roast beef, baked potatoes, and peas. And that's pretty much what I knew about a healthy diet. But when you look around the world, we found that the people who have the least diabetes and the longest lives and the least problems with body weight and so forth are those whose diets are based mostly on plant staples, rice in Japan, or in Latin America, it might be beans and tortillas. So we've been testing that sort of diet, but then you have to do something else. You have to make sure that the food tastes bang up great. So that each recipe a person makes, you don't want to focus on any sort of deprivation. You want to really love it. And that's true for breakfast and lunch and dinner. So we've tried to put these two things together, a really powerful diet approach, but at the same time, food that is really fun. So like the last recipe in the 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart is a chocolate cake. And I want to show that you can make a chocolate cake without throwing in a huge stick of butter and several eggs and that kind of thing, and make it light and fluffy and delicious. And that's what we've done. But in my own life, yes, you're right. I did make the change, and I now eat exactly the way our patients eat, and I only wish that I had done this sooner.
My guest is Dr. Neil Barnard. He's a clinical researcher and author. We're talking about his new book, 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart. We're also going to be talking about his other book, The Get Healthy, Go Vegan Cookbook. If you're just joining us, I want to remind you that you're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. Dr. Barnard is a nutrition researcher, author, and health advocate, and he's joined us today because he believes in public broadcasting, and he's here to talk about improving your health. At the $250 pledge level, we have a great thank you gift combo package. You will get the book, 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart, and the cookbook, Get Healthy, Go Vegan, and a DVD of Dr. Barnard's PBS program, and a one-year subscription to Kickstart emails. That is a great package of items for your pledge of $250. You'll be supporting WOSU Public Media, All Sides with Ann Fisher, and you get some great thank you gifts in return because we really do want to thank you for your support of WOSU. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. Again, 1-866-897-9678. Or visit WOSU.org. If you would like to speak to Dr. Barnard, you're welcome to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@WOSU.org. You've said that this diet can eventually get people off diabetes medication. It might be a solution for some people with Alzheimer's disease. Those are pretty dramatic claims.
Well, but we see it every single day. When we started, it was quite a controversial thing to mm-hmm. say. When we noticed that there were people where their blood tests no longer showed diabetes. But we weren't the first people to have that experience. It was back 1990. Dr. Dean Ornish in California showed that you could reverse heart disease. And at first people thought, no, it's impossible. If you've got blocked arteries, they're going to stay blocked until you have surgery. But he said, no, using a diet that was very much like the one we used, it's largely plant-based and throwing away the cigarettes, the arteries opened up again. And you could see a measurable difference in Dr. Ornish's work. It was 82% of patients. You could see their arteries opening right up again within a year's time. We did essentially the same thing with diabetes. And in fact, let me give you an example. There was a man named Vance who was a policeman here in Washington. His father was dead by age 30. When Vance was 31, he was diagnosed with diabetes. He came in here about 5 years later. And we put them on this program, which he found very, very easy, because he said, all right, I like chili. You're going to show me how to do the bean chili and the chunky vegetable chili. And we just adapted the recipes he made. He lost about 60 pounds over about a year's time. His doctor sat him down and said, there is no trace of diabetes on any of your tests anymore. Stopped his medication. And his energy rebounded, and it was, by the way, when I asked his permission to tell his story, he said, make sure you tell everybody that my erectile dysfunction went away too. So you sometimes things you don't expect to happen, but it's true. And when we first started talking about this, that diabetes, and you know, we just see it no longer there, that raises the question, is it still sort of waiting around the corner to come back? And it may be, but... The point being, we can be much more assertive than we have been in the past. I don't want to just manage a person's diabetes. I want to see if I can get it better. And I want to open your arteries again. If a person has had more serious diagnoses, maybe someone has had breast cancer in the past or prostate cancer, let's use foods to improve our survival. As I said at the beginning, you don't fire your doctor. We're working as a team so that, yes, you may use medications or other treatments, but let's use food intelligently, because properly chosen, it can be more powerful than just about anything else that we have at our disposal.
You mentioned Dr. Ornish in 1990 and his work way back then. Things seem to only be getting worse when it comes to obesity and diabetes and all the other health-related problems with diet. What do you attribute that to? We know more than ever. That's how I started the show. I don't know if you heard it or not, but that's how I said, we know what's bad for us.
I think there's a lot of noise out there. There have been a number of people over the years who have said, don't eat carbohydrate, for example. Mm-hmm. Don't eat bread, don't eat pasta, don't eat beans, don't eat sweet potatoes, because carbohydrate makes you fat. And that is not true. But somehow that has been memorized by people. Because it is true that when a person leaves all the carbs off their plate, they're going to lose weight temporarily. And that's simply because you're just not eating very much compared to before. But the people in the world who live the longest are those who actually eat the most carbohydrate-rich foods like rice and noodles and that kind of thing. So for every doctor like me who's doing work and has good, solid research that's published in the scientific literature, there are probably 25 people who are writing nutrition books and doing programs that kind of get people a little bit confused. So I think we're fighting that battle. The other thing also is, let's face it, a generation ago when it was clear people had to quit smoking, it takes some time for that message to really integrate. And right now we know that changes in what we eat need to be made, but it's taken some time for that message to sink in. The good news is when people put it to work, they very often benefit in ways they never expected. I mentioned Vance. Nancy was a woman. This is her real name. She came into the diabetes study. Her diabetes improved dramatically. She got off all of her medicines. She lost a lot of weight. But the thing she wasn't expecting is one day she opened a jar of spaghetti sauce, and she just stepped back and looked at her hands. She had rheumatoid arthritis. And, you know, whoever makes those vacuum-packed jars, that must be a sadist, because you can never open them up. Well, she just opened it up easily. She realized her arthritis had gone away. So how can that be? And I had mentioned to her that there's been a literature for a long time about certain foods triggering arthritis pain. And don't take this on faith, but the most common one happens to be dairy proteins, like in cheese and ice cream and that kind of thing. We had taken it out of her diet to help her diabetes, but suddenly her joints were just feeling good again. So when your pain goes away, it makes the foods that you're eating taste so good because you realize you're healthy again. So
you didn't have to hurt yourself to
You don't to have eat to them. Hurt yourself, exactly. So let me reiterate what you said, Ann. WOSU is doing such a great public service, and I hope that everybody who's listening to this program does call with your message of support. And I'm going to give that number. It's 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. Please call now or go to WOSU.org. I adore this kind of programming. This is how we get the message out. And I'm hoping that everybody calls with their support.
Thanks to Joanna in Columbus and also Arla in Dublin. We have $2,400 to go. Thanks so much for your show of support for WOSU. I want to remind folks about what our thank you gifts are at this level, at the different levels. First of all, give what you can afford. We appreciate anything that you can afford to give us. But for a pledge of support at the $100 level, we'll send you Dr. Barnard's book, 21 Day Weight Loss Kickstart. The subtitle of the book is Boost Metabolism, Lower Cholesterol, and Dramatically Improve Your Health. And that's what we're talking about this hour. And for that pledge of $100, we'll send you that book as a thank you gift for supporting public radio. At the $250 pledge level, we have a great thank you gift combo package. You'll get the 21-day weight loss kickstart and the cookbook Get Healthy, Go Vegan, and a DVD of Dr. Barnard's PBS program and a one-year subscription to Kickstart Emails. That's a great package of items for your pledge of $250. And just to let you know, the Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook includes 125 recipes to jumpstart weight loss and help you feel great. Learn to make banana ginger pancakes for breakfast and black bean cakes with mango salsa for lunch. Enjoy a three-layer tortilla casserole for dinner and then a raspberry cake for dessert. And as Dr. Barnard has already pointed out, they wrap the whole thing up with a chocolate cake recipe. But that's in the 21-day weight loss kickstart, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But they're both loaded with them. Plus, all the information that you need to answer your questions along the way. How will foods lower my blood pressure, lower my cholesterol? And let me make a pitch for the 1 year of emails.
Sure.
What we're actually doing, it's way more than just an email. What you actually get is you click on it, and you'll see my picture there. And you click on my picture, and a whole video opens up. So I'm going to give you new nutrition lessons and new cooking classes every single month that are totally exclusive here. So these aren't things that you can get in a store or something like that. They're designed specifically to promote public broadcasting, and it's been a real pleasure for us to make it available. And we did it for another reason. It's one thing to learn about it. It's another thing to get support and reminders on an ongoing basis so you can really succeed over the long run, and that's what we're going to do.
From Rochelle on Facebook, she says, I can't give up cheese. Vegan cheese is not good, in my opinion. Other vegan stuff is good, though. Do you think that the vegan industry, such as it, for lack of a better word, is trying to do a better job in producing things like vegan cheese that does taste good?
Well, yeah. You know, the original ones tasted like glue, I have to say. and they're getting better. Many of them are actually quite good right now. However, we use different tricks for it. And when I make a pizza, for example, I'll make a pizza sauce, and I always stir into the sauce something called nutritional yeast. I don't know if you've ever used it. It's not brewer's yeast, which is bitter, and it's not baker's yeast. It's this bright yellow stuff that it has an aroma and a taste just like cheese. The thing about it, though, is cheese is 70% fat. Nutritional yeast is all protein, but it has that cheesy flavor. And so afterwards, you don't feel this bloating. You don't get the weight gain. You feel really great. So that's one trick, and we have many, many others to help you. But, you know, on the other hand, the thing I'd encourage you to do is you don't have to jump in right away. Try my recipes. See how they work. When you're ready, just for a short time, for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, try it, and then your body is going to start singing to you, and you're going to see how good you feel. But there's no reason to feel I've got to do this all the way straight out of the box. You can take your time.
And cheese is one of those real sticking points for a lot of people.
Oh, it is.
It's on everything.
It's on everything. You know, a century ago, Americans ate in a year less than 4 pounds of cheese. It was not our thing. But in the 60s and 70s, the fast food chains and the pizza places came in, and they really made it an institution. And some people believe it's one of the biggest reasons for the obesity epidemic. Today, the average person eats 30 pounds more cheese per year compared to a century ago. So finding healthier substitutes, that's a really good idea, and we should be bringing those into our lives. And I'm hoping with these books, people are finding lots and lots of choices that work for them.
My guest once again, Dr. Neil Barnard, a clinical researcher and author. We're talking about two of his books, 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart and also the Get Healthy, Go Vegan Cookbook. Thanks to Mark and Powell. We have $2,300 to go and our $3,000 goal this hour. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to our secure server at WOSU.org and make the pledge right now. It only takes a couple minutes to do so. And before you know it, you'll be back listening to the show. 1-866-897-9678. And, or go to WOSU.org and make that pledge online. And we appreciate it so much, whatever you can spare to help out your public radio station. If you want to talk to Dr. Barnard, you're welcome to do so. No one has called yet, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We welcome your calls. Dr. Barnard, what's the magic in 21 days? How did you figure that out?
Well, two things. The first is 21 days is enough time to start seeing results. People do lose weight. They're joints feel better. Their blood pressure comes down. If they've got diabetes, it's getting better. Their digestion sorts itself out during that time. But it's also short enough that it doesn't feel like a big thing. You know, when people are smokers or whatever, once you've made it past 21 days, you've really been able to break free. So we're helping people to just use that short time frame to get better. But I should also say that the results go way, way beyond that time. Once you've learned some new habits, tried some new recipes, you're on a new path. And we are now looking at the long-term results. We now have pretty good evidence that when people follow healthy diets, it doesn't just open their coronary arteries up, make their chest pains go away, make them feel better, get their diabetes under better control. But over the long run, it probably reduces the risk of Alzheimer's disease and stroke and the things that are really so punishing for so many people now. And we're working quite a lot now looking at the science of that and how these same diet changes that are good for the heart are going to be good for the brain too. My own father just passed away about 2 months ago with Alzheimer's disease. And when we see people who lose everything, they lose their connection with other people. And to think that maybe by making some adjustments to my diet, to my blood chemistry, I can push that back a little bit, delay it, or maybe prevent it. For me as a doctor, that is what I want to see more than anything else. And I think that is exactly what we're talking about.
Terry in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
I was just recently diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. Otherwise, I'm a healthy 50-year-old, and I was interested in the brief comment that you made about the woman who changed something in her diet and where I can get, you know, any more information on that or quick changes that I can make that might make the arthritis better.
Okay, that's a terrific question. Okay, first of all, let me say it wasn't only my patient who I described. I myself have rheumatoid arthritis, and my mother had rheumatoid arthritis. And let me tell you what we know and why foods matter. And it's quite easy to do. Rheumatoid arthritis, as your doctor explained, is an autoimmune disease. That means that your body is making antibodies that are attacking your own joints. And antibodies are made in response to some kind of protein. So your body thinks, oh, I'm being invaded by a bacteria, and so it tries to make antibodies to knock it out. Well, you're not being invaded by bacteria. It could be something that came to you in food. And maybe earlier in your life you could tolerate it, but now suddenly your body is responding by making antibodies that are attacking the synovial lining of your joints. The problem is you don't know which food it is. So there's a fairly organized way of knocking out certain foods for a short period of time to see if your joints start to improve. And when we wrote the 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart, we knew that a lot of people with weight problems also have joint problems. So in making the recipes, we left out the most common pain triggers. So I get letters all the time from people whose joints get better, which is quite gratifying to see. But you'll see it.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
If what I'm hearing is correct, it may be a different food for different people. It's not always the dairy products that is affecting it. For me, it might be, I don't know, something else.
That's right. Dairy is the most commonly reported trigger, and it's not the fat. It's the dairy protein. But for somebody else, it could be nuts or corn or oranges or maybe potatoes. White potatoes happen to be my trigger. But if I have a sweet potato or a yam, I'm perfectly fine. And but it's not a huge long list. There are about a dozen foods, easy to see which ones they are. And you, with a little experimenting, your life will change. And by the way, if anyone's listening and has migraine headaches, it's even more powerful there. We see I'm doing studies now with patients with both of these syndromes, and we're seeing a dramatic reduction in their use of medications and many people just feeling so much better.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, don't fire your doctor. Give it a try. see how you do, and I think you're going to be really happy.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks to David in Columbus and Sue in Pickerington. We have $1,900 to go in this hour. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Dr. Neil Barnard. We are talking about two of his books, the Get Healthy, Go Vegan Cookbook, and also the 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart. They are our gifts to you today during this, our spring membership drive. At the $250 pledge level, you'll get the 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart and the cookbook Get Healthy, Go Vegan, and a DVD of Dr. Barnard's PBS program and a one-year subscription to Kickstart emails. That's a lot to say, but it's all worth saying because all of it's important, and the email offer is exclusive to public media, right?
It is, and you're going to really love it. It's like getting a PhD in nutrition because we come into your home every month with new cooking lessons as well as new educational lessons, and people really, really enjoy it.
Our goal this hour was $3,000, and we have $1,900 to go before the end of this hour. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Again, for $250, the combo package, if $100 fits into your budget a little bit better, you can get the book 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart. Make a pledge of $100 or $250, whatever amount fits into your budget, and show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher or whatever you love about WOSU Public Radio. The thoughtful conversations on important issues like health is just one example of what we try to bring to you every single day. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge right now. And once again, thanks to David in Columbus and Sue in Pickerington. An email from Sarah. It's another cheese email, Dr. Barnard. I am a vegetarian. I stopped eating meat about 2 years ago, and I feel great. I especially feel great because I stopped eating fast food burgers. I really can notice the difference, but I do love cheese. I don't eat a ton of cheese the way I used to, but I do eat some. What if I eat cheese only 2 or 3 times a week? Maybe I can wean myself off my cheese addiction?
Everybody does it at their own speed, and some taper down that way. But I do encourage people at some point, do the 21-day kickstart. In other words, set it aside for 3 weeks, and at the end of that time, see how you feel. Most people feel so great they want to continue it forever. But you can really decide how much you want to do. And by the way, for anybody who thinks this sounds like quite a tall order, I break it into steps. And step one is just trying out the possibilities. Try out the different foods. Or if you're a person who goes to the submarine sandwich shop for lunch or the taco place for lunch or something like that, we'll show you what to get at all of these places. And then when you're ready, we do a test drive so you can sort of see how the diet feels. But it's step by step. It's very, very easy. And I've never seen anybody who can't do it.
You can give us a call if you have a question for Dr. Barnard. That's 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Brian gave us a call, couldn't stay on the phone, but he asked, how bad is beer for you?
Well, I should say beer is in the grain group, shouldn't I?
Yes. It's carbs, right?
I don't think, oh. I'll tell you, in the studies that we did, what we did not exclude alcohol, and we did not exclude coffee, which are some often the questions we get. But I do think that for men, it should be limited to about 2 a day or less, and for women, 1 a day. But if you want to avoid alcohol completely, there are some benefits to that as well. For women, breast cancer is linked to alcohol consumption. If it's every day, her risk of breast cancer is higher than a woman who drinks only intermittently or none at all. So keep it in reason, but it's not something that we prohibit.
The whole thing revolves around food that tastes good, that makes you less hungry and boosts your metabolism. I'm really fascinated by the idea of food that makes you less hungry, because I tried one of your recipes last night. I told you about this earlier, and it's usually our pizza night, and I didn't, not only did I think, oh, I don't want any pizza, I just didn't even have the slightest urge for it after I ate the meal that I had prepared. What is it that makes you less hungry? And I didn't stuff myself.
Right. No, I understand. The 21-day weight loss kickstart uses two different principles. The first is we're choosing foods that turn off the appetite little trigger so that when the pizza's in front of you, you got more control. The second thing is it ramps up your after-meal metabolism so you burn off calories more effectively than before. And what is controlling your appetite is, first of all, you're getting healthy complex carbohydrates that have what we call a low glycemic index. That means they keep your blood sugar really steady so that you don't get the highs and lows that trigger overeating. Secondly, they have fiber that fills you up and just your stomach says, thank you, that's great, that's all I need, and you stop eating. So the temptations are, it's not that food doesn't look appealing to you, but instead of the food being in charge, you're in charge. The metabolism boost, it's about 16% for 3 hours after a meal, which is modest, but it's more than enough. I was talking to a man just before the program who had weighed over 300 pounds, and going on this program, he's now 165. He looks terrific. So I don't want people to feel like it's too late for me. It's not too late. It's never too late. It is easy for people to put this to work, and I hope people will.
Susie in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Susie.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to say thanks to you both so much. And Dr. Barnard, I love your attitude that eating well feels better. So it's not deprivation. And when our kids were young and in preschool and then in grade school, we were appalled by the terrible food that was being pushed on them. The schools seemed to think that the kids would be horribly deprived. They couldn't be stuffing themselves with hot dogs and candy all the time. And I knew the difference because I used to get migraines when I was a teenager. And when I started eating better, they went right away.
Oh, you know, first of all, your kids are lucky to have you for a mom. And secondly, I'm glad you called because many people imagine they're stuck with headaches or something like that. And it's encouraging for people to know that it really is true, that things get better. And we see it all the time.
Oh, that's so neat. But thanks so much.
Thanks, Susie.
Thank you, Susie.
Bye-bye.
One thing about the cookbook, if we want to turn to that for a minute, you have a section on entertaining, which I love because you recognize that you want to make good things that other people want to eat, too. It's not just about what your personal diet is. And you also have a nice section on just pizza.
Yeah, we do. Well, personally, I love pizza. And the way this book came about is when we were doing our research for NIH under the grant, we wanted recipes that were 100% healthy, but that were sort of instant grabbers, that people would really like them, and that were quick and easy to make with relatively few ingredients. And I worked with a chef here named Robin Webb, who writes for one of the American Diabetes Association journals, and she's just a terrific chef. She goes every year to Tuscany and conducts tours and things. So Robin and I worked together. We came up with these recipes, and we were using them only in our research studies, but she said, you know, why don't we make these available to people anywhere? So that's why we put this book together. So we do have a section on pizza. We do have a section on what to do if everybody's coming over and you want them to be not just impressed, but I would say seduced.
I see what this is all about. Okay.
Yeah, why not? So that's what this book is about.
614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call, if you want to make that pledge of support right now. We have $1,800 to go in just about 21 minutes. $1,800 out of a $3,000 goal, that's not bad, but we can do better. Let's make the goal this hour's. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Once again, at the $100 pledge level, if that fits your budget, you can get the book 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart. That's what we're talking about right now. It's our gift to you. If you make the pledge at the $250 level, you get the combo that includes the 21-day kickstart, 21-day weight loss kickstart, the Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook, a DVD, and monthly emails, special monthly emails just for public media audiences, all designed to get your body on the fast track to better health. 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. It'll be over with before you know it, and you can get right back to listening to the show. 1-866-897-9678. And Patty in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Patty.
Well, thank you. I was remembering my youth and years when there was something called Vitamingo, and I was just a little twerp. But this was a game that M.L. Wilson, who was with the Department of Agriculture in D.C. at that time, had designed. And what I could do is I could look at what I had eaten and look at what were the minerals and vitamins I got, and then I could take my penny and move it around this block and give myself points for having eaten whatever I ate. And so I learned at a very young age to be sensitive to what you're eating.
Huh.
And, so if anybody would not work with the older people but start with the younger ones,
right.
I think we'll be well ahead.
All right. Thanks, Patty.
That's my idea.
Dr. Barnard, this book isn't necessarily for children. How do you reach children?
Well,
you can. I'm sure he can. He sounds totally charming, and I'm sure he can come up with a way to just let them know about food.
Okay. Thanks, Patty.
We did want to make sure. When kids have parents or people in the school cafeteria who are making food, we really work with them to make sure that everything is that's put on the table is healthful. And also, let's face it, people are eating a lot in restaurants, sometimes the fast food place. So included in these materials are tips for what to choose when you get there. So that's really, really important.
Thanks to Charles in Dublin and also Carol and Powell. We have $1,700 to go and just about 18 minutes. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, and make your pledge right now. David in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi. First of all, I love your show. It's my favorite show on NPR.
Thank you, David.
But I had a question. In the last year, I've lost about 90 pounds. But not necessarily in the healthiest way. And I really, because of work and school, I don't like to eat three meals a day. It just doesn't fit into my schedule. So I had a question about, how many meals a day do I need to be eating to still be eating healthy? Because I've been told that eating one or two meals a day really isn't good for me.
Well, first of all, you've done terrific. I mean, you've lost 90 pounds. That is a huge achievement, so you should definitely be patting yourself on the back. But you're right to focus now on what do I do now to maintain my benefit, or if you have a few more pounds you want to lose, what's the right way to do it? You're right. People who eat more meals in a day tend to have an easier time maintaining the weight loss compared to a person who eats only one big meal or two fairly big meals. Having said that, you have to sort of respect your personality. And if you're eating on a certain schedule that works for you and what you're eating is healthy, you're going to be okay. A big word for breakfast. People who skip breakfast tend to eat more calories in a day than people who start off with a healthy breakfast because the breakfast blocks craving later in the day. And so we do have choices that I hope you'll take advantage of. But frankly, you've done very, very well, and I think you deserve to feel proud.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Thanks to Judy in Columbus and Gary in Dublin. We have $900 to go. Way to go. Thank you so much for your support. That number again, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Thanks so much for all your support of WOSU and All Sides with Ann Fisher. The combo, very popular. It includes two books, the cookbook, the Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook, and also the 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart. We've been talking about both of those books. A DVD, I think it's from the PBS specials, and monthly emails just for public media audiences, all designed to get your body on the fast track to better health. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. At the $100 level, the book 20 21-day weight loss kickstart, and at the $250 level, that book plus the cookbook, the DVD, and also the monthly emails. 1-866-897-9678. And if you want to give us a call, we still have time for calls. Yeah, go ahead.
And let me mention one other thing.
Sure.
A lot of the people who are listening to this program, I know that they are thinking about a loved one. There's somebody. It could be a spouse. Mm-hmm. It could be their one of their children. It could be their parent. And I'm hoping that they will take that DVD and pop it in the DVD player and just say, honey, I just got this in the mail. Let's watch it together. At the end of about 35 minutes, your spouse or whoever you're worried about is going to stick their elbow in your ribs and say, honey, I want to do this. I now see what we need to do. And in other words, it's not just ourselves that needs to get healthier. It's our loved ones, too. And so that's why we put this together with recipes that seduce people, with information that's going to make sense, and we try to do it in various forms. And that's what is happening here at WOSU as well. And so I'm hoping everybody, if you're going online, please go to WOSU.org and do make your pledge of support. And the number is 866-897-9678. We want to make that information available not just to the people who know they need it already, but there's a whole lot of people out there for whom this is totally new, and yet they're having health problems. They're not finding the answers they need, and luckily public broadcasting is bringing it to them. So anyway,
that's a great
my
idea.
Thank you, and I hope everybody will join me in thanking public broadcasting here at WOSU.
Josh in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have been vegan for about 3.5 years now, and I guess what I've found is that it isn't so much just like an on-off thing. Like even once you're vegan, it's a kind of almost like a journey. I'm still learning new things, and it's just it's a great experience. But what I wanted to mention was the biggest thing I've found is that I'm very athletic. I like to run and just kind of play a lot of sports in general. And being vegan has allowed me to have a better control and, understand what nutrients that I need. And I can tailor what I eat to, I don't have to have something that inherently has a lot of fat in it. I can choose a lean protein source like lentils or other things and then add other things in with it to create a very balanced diet.
I am so glad that you raised that, because one of the 21-day program, one of those days, each of those days has inspiration, but one of those days is about athletic ability and just energy in day-to-day life. And the person who we draw on is Scott Jurek, J-U-R-E-K. Scott Jurek is the world's greatest athlete. He is an ultra-marathoner who runs these races that are, some of them are 100 miles at one stretch. Some are 135 miles. There's one that's 153 miles. I'm talking about you start running and you don't stop until you get to 153 miles. Scott wins those. He's the best in the world and has been for years. And this is the diet he follows. And he has shown that it gives you so much more energy, so much more athletic ability. But where I think that matters is not for necessarily a young or middle-aged person, but what if I'm 60? 65, 70, 75, 80, that's when you need the most energy, and that's when you want to choose the foods that do that. And I love what you said, Josh, about it being a journey. As you come along, you discover more and more ways to ramp it up, make it better. And if all you want to do is to go to a nice Italian place and follow kind of my menu suggestions for some minestrone, lentil soup, angel hair pasta with tomato sauce, followed by my chocolate cake and an espresso, fine. That's great. That's totally healthy. But if you want to go several steps further, we'll show you the foods that really ramp it up and can give you the power that you've been looking for.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks to Joanne in Columbus. We have $700 to go in just about 11 minutes. $700 in 11 minutes. I know we can do it. Be one of those. If we get just seven more callers, I know I'll do it. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. And you can go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge there as well. We have an email from Stephanie. She writes, I'm a fan of Dr. Barnard's work. Any thoughts on asthma? I have often heard anecdotally that getting dairy out of the diet improves asthma.
Happens all the time. And oddly enough, first of all, the answer is yes. And earlier we were talking about rheumatoid arthritis. Asthma is similar in that the immune system is reacting to something, and dairy proteins can be one of the things it reacts to. It's not the only thing. Your asthma can be made worse by cigarette smoke or by pollen or dust. But what we find is that when we get the diet under control, when we get the nutrients better balanced, the immune system is less hyperreactive so that you can tolerate the other exposures better. I'll tell you another story of my own is that I was allergic to cats, and I love cats, but I was always a little bit allergic to them. When I made a diet change, I found out I no longer had any really real reaction to it. It wasn't that I wasn't around cats, but that you're just changing your body chemistry to be a little bit more tolerant.
From Diane on Facebook, she writes, a coworker recently found out I don't eat any meat at all. He said, can a person actually survive like that? I told him I'd give him the number to my zombie master and they could talk, but this is the mindset out there. Dr. Barnard, you have a huge uphill climb. By the way, your red lentil artichoke stew rocks. We love it at my house, even the meat eaters.
Bless your heart. I mean, the short answer is yes, you can. And if you keep in mind, human beings, I know this always sounds a little surprising, but we're not dogs or cats. We are great apes. And that sounds a little humiliating, but it's true. And we, for most of our time on Earth, ate rather like the other great apes, foods that we could pick with our hands. Once the Stone Age arrived and gave us hatchets and arrowheads and things, then we could start eating meat in prodigious quantities, but we still have pre-Stone Age bodies. So that's if I take a person who's been overdoing it on their meat and they now have heart disease or they have diabetes or whatever, and we make some diet changes, it's quite astounding to see that their pre-Stone Age body breathes a sigh of relief and those problems often go away.
I'm not sure if it's your website, but somewhere where the people were posting comments about your diet and about your recommendations, and one referred to soy for men. And they said, they brought up apparently it's a controversy out there about what too much soy does to men in terms of their sterility, erectile dysfunction, and low testosterone. Can you address that?
Sure. Many years ago, researchers noticed that a number of beans, including soybeans, contain compounds called isoflavones. And if you draw them on the blackboard, they're sort of similar to estrogens, the female sex hormone. They're not estrogens, but the chemical structure has some similarities. So just the worries that you described, people would say, good heavens, if I'm a man and I eat soy, will my sperm count fall? Will I become effeminate? And these things have been tested, and luckily, it's not true at all. In Asian countries where people have consumed soy milk and tofu and tempeh and other soy products for centuries, there has been no reduction in fertility whatsoever. None of those problems came to pass. And then the next question is, well, what if a woman consumes it? Well, would she be at a higher or lower risk of cancer? Or what if you had been diagnosed with cancer in the past? And the results are, again, favorable. It turns out that girls who consume soy product during adolescence while the breast tissue is forming, they are at about 30% reduced risk of developing breast cancer as adults. In other words, the soy is protective. And there are three studies on women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer in the past. And if they consume soy products regularly, their risk of cancer recurrence is cut by about 30%. Now, having said that, I want to be clear that soy is totally optional, and this is not the soy promotion society.
Okay.
You can follow a healthy diet from a Mediterranean standpoint, vegetables, fruits, pasta, maybe a Latin American standpoint, beans and tortillas. Soy is an Asian tradition, and it's very healthy, but there is no evidence that it's harmful. The evidence is quite the reverse, and it's so adaptable you can make soy yogurt, soy milk, soy burgers. One day they'll make snow tires out of it. So it's a handy thing, but it is 100% optional.
Thanks to Mary in Delaware and also Gail in Columbus. We have $500 to go and just about 5 minutes to go. I know we can make this goal this hour. Thanks to everybody for your support so far. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge online through our secure server. This is 89.7 NPR News Spring Membership Drive, and today we're asking you for a pledge of support. We have great thank you gifts at the $100 and $250 pledge level. Call our volunteers, and they have detailed information. Becoming a member takes just 2 minutes of your time. 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org and help us make our goal this hour and stay on track during our spring membership drive. The $100 level, the 21-day weight loss kickstart book by my guest, Dr. Neil Barnard. At the $250 level, that book plus the Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook, 125 easy and delicious recipes to jumpstart weight loss and help you feel great. Also a DVD and then a monthly email newsletter for public media audiences. 1-866-897-9678. And if 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Nancy, you're on the air. We're running out of time, but I wanted to squeeze you in.
Quickly, doctor, how do we protect ourselves from genetically modified organisms? How do we get non-GMO?
Brilliant question. Thank you.
Okay.
Look on the label. If it says organic, by law, it cannot be GMO.
Okay. So look, read your labels.
Yep, it's there. And by the way, if you pick up a fruit and you don't find an organic label, there's a little sticker that they put on for the cashier to read that's called the PLU sticker. If the number starts with 9, then it is organic and cannot be GMO. So there you go.
You know, what about just the process of cooking itself? I've read many times that just getting involved in the preparation of your food is a helpful way to become more cognizant of what you're eating.
It is, and yet I love it when people learn these basic cooking skills again. At the same time, this is modern life, and not everybody has a lot of time. So
right.
I want to make sure that people have the skills for getting out of the kitchen really fast and knowing what is healthful, whether it's fast food, the company cafeteria, or anywhere you are. So yes, it's good to know how to make a good spaghetti sauce in the kitchen, but I also want to make sure you know what's the very best place to eat at the taco spot, too.
Some of the recipes in the Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook, blueberry pancakes, caramelized onion, arugula, and cherry tomato pizza, yum. Three-layer tortilla casserole, udon noodles with shiitake and button mushrooms, marvelous mango smoothie, spicy spinach frittata, vegetable paella, fire-roasted tomato black bean chili, tempeh burgers with pineapple salsa, chocolate cherry nirvana. Did you have fun naming these recipes?
Well, and we had fun putting it together.
Uh-huh.
Because the 21-day weight loss kickstart, Jason Weirich from Phoenix did all of the recipes with me. The Get Healthy, Go Vegan was Robin Webb, who has sort of an Italian flavor to it. And then in the monthly program, I worked with Christine Waltermeyer, who's a beautiful, wonderful chef, and she's going to do your cooking demonstrations for you, along with Colleen Patrick Goudreau as well. And so you're going to get really a lifetime treasury of healthy approaches to suit anybody's taste, and we're really going to get healthy.
By the way, I tried the udon noodle salad on page 72, loved it. Thanks to Scott and Stephanie in Canal Winchester, we just have $200 to go in just a little over 1 minute. Pick up the phone, make the call right now, be part of the solution, be part of the way we get our information to you every day. Help support public radio, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive, and our goal today has been simple, to get your pledge of support at 1-866-897-9678 or go online at WOSU.org. And in return for your pledge, we're offering you some great thank you gifts. Thanks to Dr. Neil Barnard, and I just want to take this moment right now to thank you, Dr. Neil Barnard, for joining us today. You've been wonderful.
Well, Ann, you've got a wonderful show. You get so much great information out to people. Thanks for including me in it.
You're welcome, and thank you. And thanks to everybody who showed their support. Once again, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org and help support All Sides with Ann Fisher and 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.